On the wrong side of Tinseltown, only BFM's man on the street knows where to go for the real scoop. It's Fabian's Hollywood with Fabian Fanboy.
Morena Fabian, how are you? Hello? Hello?
Ooh, we've got a bit of a technical...
Technical difficulties.
If you just hang up on the phone there.
That's what I'm going to do. We're just doing live radio as we go. Tell you what, guys. Shall we play a song?
I reckon we play a little song.
Let's play some Echo O's while we sort out our phone. That was the Echo O's there with Fool. Let's have another go.
On the wrong side of Tinseltown, only BFM's man on the street knows where to go for the real scoop. It's Fabian's Hollywood with Fabian Fanboy.
Morena, Fabian, are you there? Hello?
Yes, I am.
Hey.
How are you? Sorry about
Good.
The troubles there.
That's all right. It's the nature of international radio phone call land. How's it going in Tinseltown?
It's good. I live in the valley, and cell phone reception here is a nightmare at the best of times. So,
it's not all glamorous in LA.
No, one of the less glamorous. In fact, this is the least glamorous city on earth. It's rife with homelessness. It's dirty and horrible. I went and saw, do you remember Tom Green, that kind of provocateur comic guy?
Vaguely. It's ringing bells. I couldn't tell you what he did, though.
He used to just, like, abuse his parents and film it with a video camera and stuff.
Oh,
and he was married to Drew Barrymore for a while.
Yeah, no, that guy sucked.
Anyway, he's a stand-up now. And I went and saw him, and he was doing a set at the Comedy Store, which is right in the middle of Hollywood on Sunset Boulevard. And he was like, hey, anybody here from out of town? You know, everyone always does that. You know, anybody here from out of town? Anybody in Hollywood for the first time? And a bunch of people put up their hands. And
oh,
he's like, you didn't think it would be this shitty, did you? And It's true. This is a pro Tom Green story.
Hey, there we go. You know what? He's maybe not wrong about that. So
he nailed it, and it really is quite a crummy looking place.
So that's, you know,
all the glamour is behind closed doors.
The American dream. It's all a mirage, isn't it?
Oh, it's depressing as hell at times. I tell you that.
Hey, what's happening in movie land? What did you get to chat to Will Smith about the slightly bizarre looking new Aladdin live action movie?
Yeah, I did. It wasn't a one-on-one interview or anything, but I was part of a press event that he was present for, and I saw the film, and it's kind of weird. Like, there's all these Disney live action adaptations, but Aladdin feels slightly different because, even though the original only came out a year after Beauty and the Beast, which we've already had a live-action version of, Aladdin just feels contemporary in a way that the other Disney films don't.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a slight odd vibe around seeing a new version of it when we're kind of still in the same cultural age in which the animated one came out.
Yeah, so I know what you mean,
So the film is kind of weird. I was a little kid when Aladdin came out, and when I heard those songs again, it grabbed me in my gut, you know, like there's no denying the power of those songs, but it's not the best sign for a film when its power comes from what it's sort of referencing rather than what it's embodying itself. In Aladdin, I think the person who does the best job is an English actress named Naomi Scott, who plays Princess Jasmine, and she's just kind of really good. She was in the Power Rangers movie. She's one of the new Charlie's Angels. I think she's going to be a big star.
What was her name again? Naomi Scott, did you say?
Naomi Scott, yeah. And she's part Indian, and that's why she was cast as Princess Jasmine. And they've made an effort here to, you know, they cast an Egyptian actor as Aladdin, an Egyptian-Canadian actor, rather. And you know, there's steps being made in terms of ethnic representation and moving away from certain stereotypes. But, yeah, it's hard to know where Aladdin fits into the modern culture. It feels like both a throwback and a forward step.
Mm-hmm.
So I liked it, but it was mainly a nostalgic experience.
If you were going to compare it to the cartoon original, is it kind of one of those things you're like, as you were saying, it's not really a comparison. It's a sort of like shadow of it, or is it sort of all right to watch in its own right?
I think a shadow is the right way. It follows the plot very closely. They buff up Princess Jasmine's control of her own destiny a bit more.
Well, that's good. And, that's good at least.
Yeah, and she gets a new song. But again, the best moments are the songs we already know and love.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Oh,
no, I was going to say, I feel like of movies that I sort of was like, I don't really mind if it comes back if they get a remake or anything like that. I feel like The Lion King is one I'll actually be quite excited to see because that was very iconic in my childhood. But also, I feel like Aladdin, I really liked the cartoon. I kind of don't need the live action. But I'm glad to hear that at least there's still some good stuff. Like, it sounds like the Jasmine thing's really cool, things like that. But yeah, it's kind of strange. I think you're totally right when you say it's sort of almost too close to be having a kind of remake of it.
I've always preached pragmatism when it comes to remakes because remakes have been part of filmmaking from the very beginning.
Yeah,
like the Maltese Falcon, iconic movie. That's a remake. And people were like, oh, why are they remaking this, right? Why are they remaking that? But these animated to live action things, it's sort of different because they're not trying to stand on their own two feet. They want you to think about the original.
Yeah.
And I think there's something slightly sort of creatively incestuous about that, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I do. I do know what you mean, yeah. Well, it sounds very interesting. I will probably still go and watch it because I am still a giant child at heart and I do love a good excuse to watch a Disney movie. So I might go and see that this week, I reckon.
Cool.
Is there anything else that you would recommend people going to check out in the cinemas?
Yeah, just want to mention one more film called Brightburn that I'm really excited to see. I have not seen it. It's a a kind of a dark riff on the Superman mythology, and that's about a couple who long for a child, and in a one arrives in a meteor, and they raise it, and it's got amazing powers, but he's an evil little shit, and he kills people. Which I love the fact that we're at the point in the superhero movie world where we can have these little interesting riffs like this. These are the kind of things they've been doing in the comics for a long time, kind of like, what if Superman was evil?
What if
Superman was Russian and stuff like that? And so, it's getting kind of mixed reviews, and apparently it's quite a nasty little film. It was produced by James Gunn, who's the director of the Guardians of the Galaxy films. It was written by two of his brothers. So
I was going to say, that makes a bit of sense then. I guess Guardians of the Galaxy is quite irreverent to the superhero genre, so that seems quite cool, I guess.
Yeah. James Gunn's always showed an interest in kind of mixing things up a little bit. He's gotten in trouble for it at times, but it's not hard to see him thinking this would be a cool idea.
All right, well, that's a good one to go and check out. So Aladdin, if you feel like a bit of nostalgia, and Brightburn, if you feel like changing up your superhero movies a little bit. Thanks, Fabian.
Yeah, thanks. Talk to you next week.
See you soon.
You'll be listening to Fabian's Hollywood with Fabian Fanboy.
You have, and we will